Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and today we are joined by another Millennials vs. Gen X in Sunday Burquest. She came on to do a little tell-all after Millennials vs. Gen X season. She's back this week to hopefully make up some points for Julia and Adam, who have been struggling in the power rankings. Sunday, thanks for coming on.
The pressure is on.
Wow. Thanks for having me. I'm always up to talk Survivor.
What are you thinking about this season so far?
I really like it. I think it's a lot of fun. More fun than a lot of pre-merge seasons that we've seen in the past. So I'm loving it.
Yeah, and that's like the thing that we've kind of heard. It's just it just seems like it's a different pre-merge, and we've been really enjoying it. I know we were talking about it a lot on the last episode, that we were just like having a really good time with everything we've seen so far, even though I had my heart broken by Brendan going home.
Oh, I know it. Oh,
a lot of people did.
All right. So pretty much we're going to do our predictions. We're going to do our power rankings Sunday. Hopefully, I think you're going to have some good tidbits here. I mean, she has it all written out. She's ready to go. She's ready for this. So.
Yeah, I got some notes.
Well, I hope so. I mean, don't be disappointed.
We've set the bar incredibly high now. So,
Oh my word.
Alexa, do you want to start off this time? I think Adam went first time. I went first last time. So why don't we like spin it around here? Alexa, why don't you start us off with who your number one is?
Sounds good. So I watched the preview came out for this episode, and as usual, there wasn't too much of it. I think they learned their lesson from last week and that they or from 2 weeks ago that maybe someone finds an idol, but at least they didn't show us this time. But a lot of the attention was on the Malolo tribe. So I'm actually going to put Laurel as my number one. I was really, really impressed with Laurel last week. I think she was awesome in both of the challenges. And I was fearful for her going in because I thought she was going to come on kind of strong. But she's purposely doing the opposite. She said she wants to lay low right now. She seems to have a really good thing going on with Donathan. She was talking to Dominic, and he's been telling everyone he has an idol, but he told her that he has an idol. And I think she's playing a really good game right now, and she wants to be laying low, and that's exactly what she's doing. She's not overplaying. She's not playing loudly, and I think she's in a pretty safe position.
Yeah, I have Laurel a little bit lower down. Just to kind of – I want to kind of throw out what the points are too. I probably should have done that. I'm leading right now at 22. Alexa has 19, and then, like, Team Survivor has 18. So, actually, Julia did make up points.
Team Survivor.
There is some points there. So, Sunday, who do you have at number one?
I have Laurel also.
Oh, wow. This is great.
Yep, for some of the same reasons, but the other reason I wrote down in my handy notes was that Laurel's making a point to talk to everybody. And that is key. We see her talking to different people. And unlike some of the other players who just wouldn't entertain any type of relationship with other players, you never know who you're going to need. And you need as many options as possible. So I loved the fact that I saw her talking to different people. I love that she approached Dom. And that's a reason why I put her in my number one spot.
I have Laurel like more towards my middle. My main thing with Laurel is I like that she's jumping around and she's talking to everybody. I just hope that like those other Malolos don't get like a little nervous that she is talking to everybody and maybe like they start to get a little suspicious of her. I mean, if you look at that tribe though, it has to be Chris or Angela or Dom somehow going with the idol in his pocket. But my number one is Dominic because I think he has that idol. I think he's trying to make moves and he got blindsided once. And I think once he gets blindsided once, like he did, with Morgan going home, I think now he's like, okay, like I can't really trust these people, even if I think I should. And I think he plays that idol if he gets any type of suspicion that they're coming for him. But with the idol and Chris, who seems like he's really rubbing everybody the wrong way, we had Laurel and Donathan talking about they definitely want to work with Dominic over Chris. So it just seems like it can't be Dominic who goes this week, and he's the only one in the game with an idol. So I'm going to stick with him.
All right.
Get that.
If you feel good about that, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm assuming Sunday has Dominic way, way lower based on that reaction.
Nope, you'll see.
We'll get to him. Who do you have number two Sunday?
Okay, this is a risky one. Ooh. But I put Michael in number two.
Wow.
And risky.
It's risky because after a stunt like he pulled, he could be public enemy number one if they go back to tribal. However, it just showed me that he's thinking a couple steps ahead of other people. It took massive guts to, I felt like, confidently pull off that lie that was totally believable. I guess you have to decide if you think moves are result oriented, if they're good or bad based on the results. I think they could have tweaked that move a little bit better, but just the fact that he came out, I just feel like he's the kind of kid that's going to keep pulling a rabbit out of his hat every week and surprise us. And by the time they get to the merge, everybody's going to be like, how the heck did he get here? I guess that's my thought.
I have Dominic way lower, or Dominic, I'm still looking at Dominic. I have Michael way lower, And mm-hmm. I think, like, in terms of, like, longevity for the game, I think you might be right. But in terms of going into this week, I'm just so scared that, like, they got rid of Brendan. And now it's like, all right, we know Michael played his idol. He played it wrong. We can get rid of mm-hmm. another big, strong guy on Malolo. And we can keep around Stephanie Johnson. And we can keep around Jenna, who it looks like this Sebastian and Jenna thing is really starting to heat up now. And that's not going to go anywhere.
No. But can they afford to vote out another strong person? I just think that's dumb.
I agree, go ahead.
I don't know. No, just I don't think they can afford to do that, but you never know.
It depends if that's the type of game Bradley wants to play.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I think the thing is that group of five, like, they did their whole, we're going to stonewall everybody. They got rid of, you know, they got rid of the leader of the Malolo minority. And mm-hmm. so we saw, like, Sebastian talking to Jenna. We saw, like, Chelsea got called out, too. Obviously, we're not seeing much of Chelsea. But we're seeing at least two people have some kind of discontent with their placement. So even if they give an inch, I think Michael has proven, like you said, Sunday, that he will take a mile and he will try to make something happen. And he, out of those three, I know Bradley's kind of the one that we're seeing as the big ringleader of that group. He's the one who's going to go up against him. That's how I see it. I don't, whether or not he survives that, right. I have him a little lower, but I do see him with a lot of longevity for the game. But I saw Brendan with a lot of longevity for the game. So what do I know?
I still think Brendan's going to win. So, I mean, more than
that. We're all just idiots with headphones and a microphone. So
exactly.
You have a tiny bit more experience than a Sunday.
Well, yeah.
You wouldn't know that by watching the show.
Well, I'll go my number two. I have Donovan, and he's been really quiet since his first episode. And I thought that he was going to be somebody who really carried us through the show. And he's been relatively silent. He had that conversation with Laurel where it was like, I'd rather work with Dominic than Chris, obviously, or Wendell than Chris. I think it was Wendell, where they were saying that they really like Wendell a lot more. But other than that, like, the episode that had a lot of strategy, we didn't really hear from Donovan. And, like, Donovan's been more of like our, I like these people kind of narrator. And we really haven't seen much of his story since that first episode where it was like, look what he overcame and look at all he's done. Now it's just kind of like he's kind of just there, and it doesn't seem like he's in any real danger on that tribe. Once again, because that tribe is just looks like Chris versus Angela, or Chris and Angela versus Dominic and Wendell. Mm-hmm. So I think Donovan's good, and I think we need to see a lot more of him before he goes because of how much we saw of him in that first episode and how much of a story he has.
I think we will. I really do.
What's your take on Donovan so far, Sunda? Just in terms of like him as a character.
I love him. I think the Survivor gods love a underdog story. They love a story of someone that had it rough, let's say on the outside, and then come in onto the island and do something amazing and get further than they ever expected. So just the fact that they had that whole scene with him, like finally jumping in the water and how big a deal that was to him. I think that showed a setup for his story coming longer into the game. And I think he's amazing.
I think that seems to be like the general consensus on Donovan so far this season. It's just, you know,
yep.
Going to see where everybody's standing there. So, Alexa, who's your number two?
So my number two is Libby. And I kind of have her up there for the same reason as Laurel. And I usually put the people with idols up top. So, I mean, spoiler alert, Dom is my number three. So, but Libby, I kind of see her in the same position as Laurel. I don't know if she's talking to everyone to the extent that Laurel is, but she's proven herself in challenges. She's in this majority. She's also proven that she can lie and she can play like a very personal game and then turn it off and vote someone out when she has to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very, very good quality to have in the game. Normally it's a good quality to have later on, but I think the pace of play this season it's been really fast. Like, I feel like we were watching a merge boot last week, you would think, with how hard they were playing. So and she's another one where you're just not going to expect her to be a ringleader. You're not going to expect, like, you're not going to expect this big, crazy blindside from her. But we kind of did get one, and people still aren't really fearful of her. I think that's a great position to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my number three, I actually have Kellen, and then I have Libby at four. So I'll kind of jump so I can talk about Libby too. But the reason I put Kellen at three is because she seems so like strong on this Navidi strong. And considering now they have the 5-3 advantage, and even if they pull an idol, I think because Bradley and Kellen are kind of seen like together here, they seem tighter than it seemed like Chelsea and Sebastian were being called out as, you guys are on the outside. Do you want to come work with us? It seemed like it was very clear that it was Kellen, Bradley, and Desiree. I just don't know if they would go for Kellen because Kellen's been over to Ghost Island. So if they were to somehow flip it, it seems like Sebastian and Jenna are going to start flirting and do their thing. If that happens, I don't think they go for Kellen strictly because they're scared that she could have went to Ghost Island. They might not go for Bradley because of how confident he's acting. And so I think that the one who's actually in more trouble there is Desiree. So I think Kellen is safe. But in terms of Libby, after having such a great episode, for her to come back and really have nothing, I thought it was strange. And I just don't see any of those Malolos going on that tribe. Just, you know, even James. James is my five. So, like, I just don't see any of them going over there.
Mm-hmm. Phil, you want to just go down your whole power rankings?
I know, right? Well, I wanted to jump ahead because they kind of flowed together, you know? I know. And then we give you guys more time to speak.
Are we on three? Did you go three, Alexa, yet or no?
So I said Dom. I can give a little more little more context to that. So I put him up there because he has an idol. And I put him pretty high up last week too because he's someone who has an idol, but he's also going to be very comfortable playing with it. I don't think he'll hang on to it, even though he like wants to just tell literally everyone that he has this. I think, like Phil said, he got blindsided once. He's probably going to do everything in his power for that to not happen again. And because that he knows that he has to earn his way back with Wendell, he's really, really going to try. And like Laurel and Donovan said, they just like him more than they like Chris. They just like him more than they presumably like Angela. So even though he's a little sketchy, at least they like him. At least they can have some kind of relationship with him. So I still have him pretty high up, even though he's definitely still in hot water.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait to hear what Sunday thinks about
I know. You are really keeping a tight lip.
I have to go to three first. So three, have Kellen. I have Kellen also at three.
Okay.
And part of the reason is when she talked to Stephanie and Jenna, she was basically like, you know, you guys are in the majority, but, you know, she wasn't like Bradley was when he was like, nope, I'm just not talking to you. And to me, that bodes well for her social game. Plus, I think it said a lot about her that she chose to keep her vote to keep her tribe strong over trying to get something for herself. So to me, that shows a really good social, and she's thinking strategically about the game. And if you watched or saw any of the exit press, did you hear Brendan say how, or Brandon, is it Brendan or Brandon?
Brendan.
I like him. How he knew that the vote was going his way because he had talked to Kellen about how much he, you know, it had taken him 16 years to get there. And she started to cry and turned away. And he knew at that moment that it was going to be him. But because of, you know, he had to do a walk and an interview and he wasn't there for the last hour of conversations. He didn't know what had transpired. You know, so he didn't want to say no, give it to me, and then have it be Stephanie because he had misinformation or something. But anyway, Kellen to me is a good social game, so I have her at three.
Anybody in your? Go ahead.
Phil, you're asking the same question I was just about to.
I was just gonna say, was there anybody in your season who cut people out like what Bradley did there? I just am curious. Did you have anybody on your season who was trying to do that?
That do what? You cut out like for a second.
Like how Bradley was just kind of like silencing people. Like you're like, oh no, you're out, you're gone. Like, sorry, this is it. And you're saying Kellen is playing such a better social game there because she's keeping her options. Was there anybody in your season who did like the Bradley thing or no?
No.
Nope. Okay.
That was a quick and easy. I have a quick question because you said in the exit press that Brendan was kind of gone for that last hour. And I remember reading in Gonzalez's exit press, she said the same thing, that she was doing interviews and then they kind of just went straight to tribal council. Did that happen on your season where someone was just, I don't even know if you're allowed to say this, but if someone happened to be gone for that last period of time and sort of missed the beat on a vote and either got voted out or got blindsided by themselves because of that, that seems like a really odd disadvantage to be put at that isn't anyone's fault.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not that I can think, I don't think that happened to anybody. That's why your alliances are so important, because if you're gone on a walk, which could happen to anybody, you know, cause they have to do them. That's part of the show. Your alliances have to be set in place where they're going to make sure that you're covered if you're gone. And there's a way for them to communicate to you if the plan changed. And, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't dance
without picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. So,
I just wonder, like, in that situation with Brendan, if he couldn't even convince his tribe mates, because it seemed like everybody on the tribe or in that group, except for Jenna, thought it was them. Stephanie thought it was her. Michael thought it was him. Brendan thought it was him. So I don't know if they all just thought Brendan was being paranoid. But when you do watch it, kind of like how it made the most sense to get rid of Morgan the week before, it does make the most sense to get rid of Brendan there. Just from a fact of he could be the glue of that Malolo tribe. He's the older guy. He's calm, demeanor. Like that just makes sense. So yeah. I don't know. It's strange. I think Michael was a little paranoid too. But it's weird. I think it's a little weird that they actually just assumed it was going to be Stephanie Johnson because she's the smaller person on that tribe.
Yeah, that was a miss. Well, we can talk about that whenever, but I don't think he should have been saying who they were going to vote for. I think that was a flaw in the execution. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the one thing that went wrong in that.
Yep. Great idea though. Mm-hmm. But, okay. So can I talk about, I have, my number four person. Are we going to four yet?
Let's do it.
Did you get four yet, Phil?
I already went up to five. I just got
Phil's at like number 10 already.
Okay, good. Okay. Then I can say four. I have Dom.
Oh, okay. You got four him high up.
Yeah. I actually really like him. To me, he reminds me of the dad that just finally got out there. He's a regular guy, you know, construction worker guy. I think you can see in his face, he's like so excited about the idol that he just can't shut up about it. But I think he's the kind of guy that's nice enough that he'll squeeze in with people. I mean, you've got Laurel coming to him. All along, we've seen people coming to him even more so than him going to other people. And if you are going to, you know, contrast that with Chris, and it's a bro down between the two of them, I don't see Chris coming out on top of that. So I like him. I think he's in a pretty good spot. I have him at four.
Okay, you had me worried when I put him at one and you're making that like, oh, yeah, if you feel good about
no,
that.
No.
I think you're right, though. I didn't really pick up on that people coming to him versus him coming to other people. And that's something that is like, you would think it's subtle, but I think that speaks a lot to how the relationships play out on the island.
Yep.
And it's kind of, it's funny too. It almost seems like even though Dom is like aggressive and he's loud and with the idol and everything, it seems like just because who he's against, which is Chris, it's working out in his favor that people aren't going to go, they don't have anybody really to go to on the other side. They don't want to go to Angela. They don't want to go to Chris. So they're like, yeah, we'll just go over here and we'll go with Dom. So, yeah.
Which is why we really should like, keep Chris around.
Seriously.
Yeah,
seriously, I don't think he will, though. I think this is one of those instances I keep comparing it to Micronesia, where like Joel versus Mikey B was just such like a headbutting thing that it was like it could not go on until one of them was gone. And then it resulted in both of them going in the first four or five boots.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen here. Obviously, it can't. But I don't think Dom's going to go anytime soon. But I do think Chris probably has to go before Dominic can like move on with his life.
Yeah.
So
that's going to keep your emotions in check. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think this is a very, like, not personal, but this is definitely more of, like, an emotional than a strategic feud they have going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, that never helps you in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Alexa, who's your four?
All right, I'll catch up to you guys. So, four, I have Dez. And this is strictly, like, based on what I saw in the preview, which I really shouldn't be doing, but I'm doing it anyways. So, the thing with Dez is she's in the majority. We're hearing very little from her, which I feel like we've all been like wanting something from her. And it just hasn't been coming. But it was her idea. She was the one who came up with the Brendan idea. So she's thinking. in, I think in one of Brendan's exit interviews, or it might have been in Morgan's exit interview, mm-hmm. she was saying that Dez and Chelsea are super, super tight. And we haven't seen that, but Dez does have kind of her number one. Bradley and Kellen seem to be each other's like number one and two. Stephanie and Jenna seem to be each other's one and two. So for Dez to actually have someone, I think that bodes well for her. And then on top of that, in this preview, we see her digging through a bag, which could either be her own bag. Maybe someone goes to Ghost Island and wills something to her, or she's digging through someone's bag looking for an idol. So mm-hmm. I interpret that as she's playing and she's going to be put in a situation where she's got to play. And I don't know why anyone would want to get rid of her, because there seems to be no reason to do that. So I think it's the flip side. She might be trying to flip things on their head and taking the reins on her end.
Mm-hmm. I actually think that might be why Desiree's in a little bit more trouble.
Probably.
Is because like she might actually start to be shown as playing. And like I was saying, with Kellen going to Ghost Island, and then you also have Bradley, who just is so arrogant that you might just be like, he has an idol, like we can't do it. Dez might almost be the safe vote, or Chelsea might be the safe vote if they really don't think they can ever pull Chelsea. I'm just saying this from a perspective, if Sebastian actually does go with that other three and they just need to flip one more person, mm-hmm. I just don't know if they're going to be able to boot a Bradley or a Kellen, which makes me fear for Desiree.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't really know. Within that five, the thing is, like, if let's say Sebastian flips over, I mean, the thing is, like, I guess there's no reason to pick Kellen versus Bradley versus Dez. Like, because none of them have an idol, I feel like Bradley's the one they'll be gunning for, or Kellen, because that's, like, the evil guy and the evil guy's best friend who, like, clearly has a heart because she's crying when she's to vote people out. So I feel like I feel like Kellen might be in, now that I'm talking out loud, it might be Kellen who, out of those five, who would be in trouble. But, or Chelsea.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Jenna and Stephanie may remember, you know, how she was with them when they first got there. You know, those little things can carry you a long way. It might take, if you're deciding between two people and there isn't like a clear person, one conversation you had with them that made them feel good about you could be what keeps you keeps you there, you know.
Yeah, good point.
And it doesn't seem like Bradley's had any of those conversations with anybody. It just seems like he's like playing the villain role. It just seems like he wants to be the villain on the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know that Chelsea and Sebastian are a pair. I mean, when Michael went on that whole thing, he purposely was saying Bradley's the leader. You see how they were doing that over and over? It's the same thing Adam did with David. Look at David. Mm-hmm. He's the biggest threat. And maybe he isn't. I feel like he's rubbed people in his own tribe the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And so just like they did that with Bradley, calling out Chelsea and Sebastian, I don't know. Nothing to me has said that they're a pair, an alliance, separated from the other three at all. So
other than them calling him out, that's really the only thing we got. It's just, it's hard because
nothing.
Yeah. We've just seen so little of like the dynamic within the Navidi tribe, that like even hearing like how tight Bradley and Kellen are, or how tight like you know, just having Chelsea and Sebastian's names thrown out as together, you're like, whoa, where is that coming from? Yeah. And that's really all I know, is that they might be together. Like, I don't know anything else. I literally didn't know anything else about Chelsea until that happened.
Yeah.
So it's hard.
Purple.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It just keeps happening. Every time there's a purple tribe, there's a purple edit,
it might
purple
not
something.
Stay that, it might not stay that way. Let's hope it doesn't. I think it's with 20 people, it's really hard. I think.
It is.
It is tough.
It absolutely is. So you guys, I did my five. I had James at five. We didn't really talk about it too much. We can talk more maybe when you guys get there. Who do you both have at five?
Go ahead, Sunday.
I have Libby at five.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah, I still feel like she knows what she's doing out there. And I think she's clearly willing to vote who she feels like will keep her in a better spot in the game. And I do think people will continue to trust her, even if they shouldn't. So I feel like she's in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really like Libby, like in this game, and like Morgan turning around saying, don't trust the blonde. Don't trust the blonde. Like the cute little blonde. Don't do it. Like, I feel like it's so telling of like how under the radar Libby might really be playing here. And even if that wasn't totally her, because James kind of did have the say in that move, or was the one who was pushing it, it's kind of telling, like, nobody's expecting it from Libby, and then she can just flip it on. So
right.
I'm a fan of her.
So I have James at number 5 too. So Phil, I know you didn't mention him much. I don't have like a main reason, but I do still have him up kind of high. I think the beauty of that Malolo 4 on the Navidi Beach is there isn't a clear leader with them. And I think that's really good because they do kind of share the wealth there. Like Libby and James, they both got a bit of the credit for that move. Like Donathan had a huge first episode, but you haven't seen much from her. Laurel, we're getting more of a slow burn with her. So when it comes to those four, to me, at the moment, they're fairly interchangeable just in terms of power rankings. But I think James, I mean, recovered very well from the premiere. I think, again, he had a really huge move that they really wasn't brought up that much. I mean, we kind of made this whole stink about it. And the only thing we got on their beach was like, it was more oriented towards Dom and Wendell and Chris and Angela scrambling to get themselves back up. So I don't see those four flipping on each other. I don't really see them doing that. I mean, like maybe Laurel would, but I just because I saw her talking to Dom, but I think they're all in a good place. And I put Donathan right under him at 6.
Okay. So let me type that in. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense with that group. I mean, I actually really like the dynamic of that alliance because we don't know who's on top and who's on bottom. And it doesn't seem like they care who's on the top or who's on the bottom right now. It seems like they're all kind of playing a game where it's like, can we get back to having the old Malolos on our side? Can we get back to maybe we can work for going forward with Dominic? But it doesn't seem like any of them are too worried about their positioning in that four. Whereas like, clearly the Navidi thing, it seems like it was in the back of people's minds already where it's like this five can't possibly just work together.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, do you want to jump to your 6? Or go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and maybe it was the Malolo thinking that because they're on the bottom and they're trying to find a crack, and maybe Navidi wasn't even thinking that. You know, they might not be thinking about who's on their bottom. Okay, so I don't see Phil anymore. Is he there? You there?
You there, Phil?
Okay. My number six.
I just lost. I didn't hear any of it.
Yeah. No, I didn't say it yet. So here I am. Okay. So number 6, I have Jonathan.
Jonathan. Okay.
Okay.
And I think he's in a good spot. I do. I think there's more to come. I think people love that underdog story. I think Survivor likes it. And I just, you know, but it made me nervous that the preview I saw, he was like, I might be in the middle, you know, that made me nervous. But but I do like, I think he's in a good spot for now. So I'm at 6.
What I was talking to with Adam, I was talking to Adam about this, and he was like, it just feels like the Dave thing. Like, he comes in, there's no way he's going to survive that first boot. Somebody finds a way to be more of a target than him, and they go home instead of him. And now he can really just come out and play the game and be like his normal self because now everybody knows who he is. I kept saying in the preseason, it's those people who need 3 days to really get like people almost used to them. I don't know if that's the right way, but their personalities. You know, some people have really loud personalities, but after 3 days, you're like, you know what? I actually like that type of personality. You know, I really like who that person is. And Donathan, you look at him and you're like, there's no way. He's the smaller guy. He does dive down, but that was in the second challenge, you know?
Yeah.
He had to get there. He had to build up a relationship with people. And so some people just need 3 days and then they're going and it's like, here we go. He can go on to win the entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is though, you don't want to be the person that everyone has to fight and work hard to figure out who you are and what you're about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then if they can't and it's too hard, then they'll just get rid of you because they don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Anyways,
did you have anyone that you could kind of relate to that from your season?
I mean, of course, David has the underdog, you know, story and everything. And it did take a couple days to figure out, like, is this guy, you know, Brett and Chris always thought he was acting. and I never did. But it took me a couple days to get a read on him. Like the first day when everyone was freaked out, he's looking for an idol. He comes back and is like, hey, do you want to work together? Well, I was too skittish because all we knew is he was looking for an idol. And I just had no tap on who he was. So that was hard. You know, it did take a few days. And that's why he was a target at the beginning, because people just couldn't figure out where he was coming from or where he was standing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, good point.
That makes sense, yeah. Well, speaking of people that I can't figure out or know why they're coming from where they are, I have Sebastian at 6.
excellent segue.
Yeah, because
I feel
awesome.
I feel like Sebastian is still looking for the candy store on this island. Yeah. And now he's got Jenna on his side too. I mean, he's ready to, he's gonna win the million. He's gonna get the girl, and he's gonna just buy like Willy Wonka's factory here. I mean, that's just what I'm expecting. I'm loving Sebastian. I don't even know. He makes me laugh so hard. And like, even like, I don't know what he's talking about in the preview, but in the preview, it's like, it sounds spooky. Like, even like as he's saying it, it's just like so like goofy and just like lighthearted. And it's like, they're not going to go for him. Like in this tribe, it's, we'll go for Bradley, we'll go for Kellen. Maybe they go for Dez. Maybe they go for Chelsea. Any of the other three, I think, are in danger. I think Sebastian is just like, he's hanging out. Why are you going to get rid of the bigger guy who's kind of there to like, he seems like he's having a really good time. He doesn't seem like he's rubbing anybody the wrong way. And on top of that, you have him saying, I'm kind of nervous about Bradley because he wants to get rid of the big guys. Well, I'm a big guy. So I think that Sebastian is somebody who's going to find himself kind of in the middle. And we're all going to be really surprised when Sebastian's like in a power position and a lot of votes after his comparisons of like Banana Laffy Taffy and whatever else.
I love it. And you know what? It doesn't matter what anyone thinks. People like positive people. Mm-hmm. When you're negative around camp all the time, it grates on people. I mean, we saw that, you know, people's comments about Bradley, but there's something about having somebody positive, and whether you do it consciously or not, you like those people around. Mm-hmm. And he's just funny anyways.
Yes. He's kind of goofy, which is great to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And he was kind of the butt of a lot of jokes, but then like you just said, Phil, he had a fairly insightful comment that was like, well, they're getting rid of my body type on the minority, when are they going to go for me? Which is a good point.
Yeah, totally. Point.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we're all cut up at 6. I won't jump ahead again, I promise.
Wow.
so I'll do 7 first because you've already both talked about her. I have Laurel at 7, so I'll just kind of get that out of there. I really like Laurel. I just put her kind of in the middle just because she is playing like the most out of that group. So maybe all of a sudden her side's like, whoa, why is she playing so hard? Is she like – is she almost getting a little sketchy here where it's like, whoa, she's trying to make so many moves here to get with Dominic, to get with, to get with Wendell. Maybe we should be a little nervous on her. I don't think it'll happen. That's why I still have her in like my top half, but I put her down at 7 instead of up where you guys had her.
At number one.
That's
where we had her.
At the highest position.
Not just up where we had her. At number one.
All the way there. So that's who you're most confident in. I got Dom. You know, it's okay.
Well, that's funny because those two seem to be hanging out. So maybe we're all onto something here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Whoever wants to go next.
I have James at 7.
Okay.
Yep. He's, I think he's a smart player. He showed us that last week. And I didn't feel like he should have taken the whole blame for that water thing anyways. But, I think he'll be around a little bit. I think he knows what he's doing.
Well, now that we have you on here, we talked to Julia and we talked to Adam about this. Adam was a fan of James coming back and saying it was him. Julia was like, oh, my God, I couldn't stand it. What do you think?
I don't know why he did that. First of all, why would you – ever draw attention to yourself? Let people think it was because Donathan took so long to jump in, because I feel like that's the last thing that happened, and to me that's what's on your mind. So I think that like noble, like I will take responsibility, I don't think it's smart. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't think it was good for his gameplay. And I was really surprised when Adam said that he was a fan of it, because I was like, I feel like that would be something, if I'm on the show, that would annoy me. And we've seen it in the past where people take the blame and it's like, you know, if they want to take the blame, get rid of them. And maybe if they don't necessarily take, or if they don't say we want to get rid of them, but it's like, why is he doing this? Like, stop trying to make us feel bad for you. You get both of those perceptions. Yeah. It didn't seem like we got that from James there, or like the reactions weren't like that. But I didn't like that he did that either. So I just wanted to see where the tiebreaker was at there.
Yeah. Nope. Adam's wrong and Julia and I are right.
There it is.
You're here first.
All right, Alexa, who's your 7? Who you got?
All right, so I go with Kellen for 7. So that's, I guess I have her lowest out of the three of us. But I have her at 7, but I don't really feel like she is like the 7th away from the top. That sentence didn't really make sense. But I think within that group, kind of like we talked about earlier, she's the nice one. She's sort of like the heart of that group. And so she'll maybe be able to make the Malolos confident, like, oh, like there is some kind of relationship here. There is some kind of friendship here. and then still vote them off. But she won't get, she will never get the flack that Bradley would get. So I think that puts her in a good position where she can still orchestrate some moves, but never be put in the evil bad guy position. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really good spot for her. And then Sunday, like you said, this is an individual game, but she made a decision that in the moment seemed selfless, but still obviously worked for her. And it's really hard to make moves like that. So I think she's got a very logical head on her shoulders, and I think that's going to take her far.
Yeah.
Yeah, her keeping that vote was such a great move. And, like, it's like a selfless move because it's like, I don't have a choice here. Like, I need to keep my vote so that my numbers stay the right way.
Yep.
Instead of an advantage. So that's a really good move on her part. I'll like throw out the surprise here. I have Bradley at 8 in my top half.
I have him there too, actually.
Do you really? I thought you had both of them.
I have Sebastian at 8. We already talked about him, so I'll just throw that in there while you talk about Bradley.
Okay. I thought you were both going to have Bradley like way near the bottom. The reason I like Bradley here at 8 is I think that he's so confident right now, and he kind of had a wake-up call at that tribal where it was like, whoa, I got maybe a little too cocky here, and it almost bit me. He got kind of lucky it didn't bite him. So I think that Bradley knows that it's coming, and he's going to be able to inflict fear into this smaller group where it's like, guys, like I can go find an idol. I can do this. He's still playing pretty cocky. It seems like he's the closest to McKellen. I really like – I don't mind the position that Bradley's in right now. Plus – even if Sebastian flips, all that does is tie it up. So maybe instead of Sebastian flipping, maybe it's Jenna who goes to the other side and it's Michael or it's Stephanie Johnson who we're seeing go home instead. And Bradley's able to sit there like, I'm the head honcho here. Like, I'm still in control of this alliance. And then all of a sudden, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 episodes down the line, it's like, when did he get the rug pulled out from under him?
So I have a number 8 too, and I actually purposely stuck him directly in the middle. There's 16 people left, so I have smack dab in the middle. And yeah. I did that because he is the outspoken leader. I mean, if he's gonna like claim that he's gonna play like Boston Rob and Kim, like he's gotta own that. So I'm gonna give him that credit. Like he did that. He stonewalled his opponents. He survived a tribal that he was going to survive anyway, but there were still votes being thrown at him. But then on the flip side, as he also said, the leaders never win. Mm-hmm. You can't really have it both ways. So if those three Malolos can somehow figure it out, he's the one that they're going for. It's just, I don't know how they can get rid of anybody right now because there's three of them. And like you just said, he could, like Jenna could ditch them and just leave it at Stephanie and Michael. So if those three or if people in his own alliance are annoyed with him, he's target number one. But if they can't get rid of him, then they can't get rid of him, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think Bradley's actually okay right now. I kind of want to see, the other tribe go to tribal because I want to see like what's going to be like the climax of this Dom versus Chris. So mm-hmm. I'd actually rather see that right now than see this tribe with Bradley. So I'm kind of hoping we get like a week off from them. Yeah. So that's another reason. Maybe that's like a little wishful thinking, but that's why I also have Bradley where I have him. And then, so Sunday, you said Sebastian.
Hi, Sebastian at 8. We've kind of talked about him. I mean, that's not out of the question. I think it's highly unlikely, but there is the scenario that Jenna could flip to Navidi with Sebastian, which we haven't talked about. I don't see her doing that because I think she's too tight with Stephanie, but you know, love goggles make you do funny things on Survivor.
And you had one of the better showmances on your season, you've so you know.
Yep. I wasn't a witness to most of it, but yep.
Oh, that's right. You were never actually on the tribe with both of them. So
nope. I never met Piggy till after the game. Yep.
All right. So number 9. I have Jenna at 9. Maybe a little high for her, but I think because of Sebastian and because of Sebastian seems like he's tight with that group and maybe Sebastian pulls Jenna, I think that she would try to push the vote onto Michael and not Stephanie Johnson. And that would be her way of still staying loyal to her closest ally. We saw Jenna and Stephanie talking about how they were tight. And we saw Brendan and Michael talking about how they were tight. We never really saw Jenna pledging any loyalty to Michael. So I could see her maybe trying to work her way in on the other side. And if you have to get rid of Michael, you have to get rid of Michael, and you're looking towards your future once the merge hits. So I think Jenna's okay here. Although she does get like a kiss of death here where Sebastian's like, if she's flirting with me, she's fine. And it's like, well, that's just
goodbye.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, that's me yelling at the TV.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, oh, you're in a power position at the merge? That's great. You're about to go home.
Yeah. But I have high hopes for Jenna here to make it through this week. At least, hopefully, maybe. I don't know.
Who do you have seven?
I have Wendell at 9.
Oh, that's where I have him.
Oh, again.
I know. We've had a couple of these now.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going after Wendell anytime soon. I think Wendell's the guy. He's, what's his name's buddy, Dom's buddy. I just don't see him being a target. I think he's laying low enough, but I do think he knows what he's doing. And I like him, but I don't think anyone's going after him right now. But I don't think he's going to emerge in one of these top spots either long term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's definitely owning being Dom's buddy, which I would definitely be a little nervous about. Mm-hmm. But he's really running with that. And I don't think people would vote Wendell out kind of in the way that they say, the way that like Jessica went home, like, oh, if Cole has an idol, let's get Jessica. I don't think they would do that with Wendell because they actually seem to really, really like him. Like,
yep.
Probably more so out of any of those ex-Navides who are on that tribe. But the reason I have him in my second half is kind of for the same reason I had him low last time. If they do decide to go with Chris and Angela, Dom is safe. And Wendell's kind of the only one floating around. And I don't see why Dom would use an idol on someone else this early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see a situation where Dom used the idol on Wendell. I have Wendell at 10, so like one spot behind both of you. But my thing with Wendell is if they're going to side against Dom and Wendell, they're probably going to try to take out Dom first. I mean, Chris is going to be pushing for Dom. And I don't even think Chris really has anything against Wendell. I think it's just like I think it's more Dom versus Chris. Like, really, I think Wendell is like a really good guy who's just laying right in the middle. And yeah, he's right now seems like he's on the wrong side of the numbers. But after the first boot on the Millennials in Millennials versus Gen X, it was Zeke and it was Adam who were on the wrong side of the numbers. And look what they did. They easily overcame that. I know there was a swap and everything in there, but they easily were just like able to maneuver their way through the game after that. So I think that Wendell is one of those guys when you rewatch the season, you say, man, how did he get all the way to fifth place when he was in this bad of a position early? And he's just so likable that why would they want to turn on him? They like, they want to work with him. You want to keep him around as somebody that you is just pleasant to be around. And yeah, you can't let him get to the end because he's so likable, he'll win. But I think that he's somebody that they keep around at least for a little bit. So I agree with
that. I agree.
Are we all on number 9? We're getting good at this.
I just did my 10, actually, so I kind of jumped ahead. But it was Wendell, so it makes sense.
Oh, you cannot help yourself.
I can't. I have to jump ahead. I have to be in first all the time.
Oh, you sound like someone that should play Survivor.
Right? Thank you. That's a compliment.
We're working on it. We're working on it. Who do you have at number 10?
10?
Yes.
I have Des at 10.
Oh, wow. Okay, maybe I'm in the minority with this, with my Des opinion.
I mean, she's clearly looks like, she's good at challenges. I haven't seen enough of her building relationships. And I think relationships are what keep you in the game. And I feel like she could feel like to somebody a disposable vote in the sense that, I don't see who she's super connected with. And it'd be like, well, we can't go for so-and-so because of so-and-so and this because of this. So let's just go Des. And it wouldn't really be anything that's her fault, but more just how the numbers land for a vote, I guess.
Yeah. And in Morgan's exit interview, she was talking about how like Des and Chelsea just kind of sat in the shelter. They didn't really go out and like do anything. And like, she was like, yeah, Chelsea invisible, huh? Like it was with Gordon Holmes where she was like, Chelsea's invisible. Like, but that's what I saw too. It doesn't really seem like, it didn't really seem like Desiree and Chelsea were really doing much outside of like, oh, we're comfortable in here. Like, this is great. We're having like, we're on Survivor. It didn't seem like they were playing too much. And I think that somebody like Des can easily just wake up and start to play. But I don't think that her initial game plan was come out, be aggressive, and see what happens. So yeah. I do think that she could be somebody who goes here, because it almost feels like a safe vote where you're like, she's not really pushing. She's not going to be somebody going right. to find an idol. She's not going to be somebody who's going to be trying to blindside you. This could be like a safe, let's get rid of her now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you guys are onto something with that. I get that.
As Alexa has her four still.
I'm going to keep her at four, but I didn't feel like, I knew she was tight with Chelsea. I didn't realize that she was tight with Chelsea, like, in a way that also she didn't have relationships with anybody else. And that's obviously not a good position. I actually put Sebastian at number 10. I think he's okay, but Phil, I actually interpreted your, like, his confessional in the preview completely differently, where he said, oh, well, if Jenna keeps flirting with me, I think she's safe. I think that could be a kiss of death for him. I think he and Jenna could be getting tight. And then Bradley and Kellen and the rest of the group are like, wait a second, we're not even supposed to be making eye contact with them. We still have an extra vote. If he's gone, let's get rid of this guy.
Mm-hmm. I think the only reason that it doesn't end up being Sebastian and would just be Jenna in that situation is because, well, once you, if you cut out, like, it's kind of like the whole Rodney, like, Joaquin thing, which is really funny that this is the comparison you make.
Yeah, this is your showmance.
Yeah, this is like your showmance, where it's like you had Rodney and Joaquin, and like once you got rid of Joaquin, it was like, oh, now it's just Rodney, like, on his own. He just lost his bro. Like, oh no. But like, he lost that ally and they still felt more comfortable to actually work with Rodney. And I feel like they're still going to feel more comfortable to work with Sebastian than they're going to feel working with Jenna, let's say. So I think that if it came down to that, I think Sebastian's still the one who is able to find his way out of that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I will step back and I will let somebody else put their number 11 first.
Go ahead. Take the wheel.
Okay. 11, I have Bradley.
All right. And, let's hear your Bradley take.
My Bradley take is he can go one or two ways. He can be a good enough villain where he figures out a way to stay in there, but I think he's rubbed so many people the wrong way. I think he already has a target. I think Michael did a great job painting a target on his back, and I think it's going to be hard. When people go back to camp at night, like after a tribal like that, even if they acted like they didn't agree at tribal, when they are falling asleep, they may start thinking, hey, wait a minute. They said Bradley was in charge, which means that's what they think. And whether I think it or not, they think it. And so I need to be giving thought to this. Is he in charge? And do I want him in charge? And if he is, what do I do about it? And that puts a target on his back, in my opinion.
And I think that's a great point. It's almost like this was a bad move in the moment, because by calling out that you're voting Bradley, you give nobody incentive to actually switch their vote, because right. like, it's safe anyway. But in the long run, it might actually pull people over to your side, because you're like, wait a second. They think that Bradley is the leader. Let's cut off the head before I'm sitting there at the final three with this guy, and they still give him the money because they've been telling us all along he's going to win the game. So that's a good point. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. David, right.
Yeah, exactly. Poor David.
Poor David. He's getting hit this podcast.
No, but I mean, that was one of the things Adam did really, really well. Mm. He painted targets on other people, and it worked. Mm-hmm. It was really smart on his part.
Yeah, he made me look really bad on this podcast 3 weeks ago, too. You know, he was just making me look like the villain. So I don't
know. Even on podcasts, he'll do it.
Yeah, even there. He wants to win. Adam. He yelled, I want to win. But anyway.
Yeah, of course.
I actually have Chelsea at 11.
That's where I got her. I've been sharing it with you guys.
So Alexa and I both have Chelsea at 11.
At 11?
Wow, okay. So I think Sunday, is that your last place?
Yeah, she's down.
You don't have to say it out loud, but that was what I heard in that tone there.
I don't know.
You'll see. We'll get to it.
The reason I have Chelsea Lynn is because we just finally heard from her. It really was negative. And I don't think anybody's looking at Chelsea as any type of threat. I think she's just kind of there. And I honestly think that when you have an alliance that is so solid like this one is, her just being there might actually be really good for her. Not an alliance that's so solid, but an alliance that's trying to pretend they're so solid. Chelsea was somebody who was being called out by the side, like, hey, come work with us. Hey, come work with us. They're probably going to keep prying with Chelsea and try to get her onto their side. And maybe that's what we're seeing the beginnings of, is a Sebastian and a Chelsea. The reason I have Dez below Chelsea, which, because I haven't said Dez yet, the reason I have Dez below Chelsea is because it seems like they believe that Chelsea can be swayed. They didn't even try to sway Dez at the last tribal council. So I think that for as little as we've seen of Chelsea and as little as we know about her at all, I still think that she's okay, at least for this week.
Well, did you see, I don't know if it was a secret scene or a online confessional, but that Michael worked on Desi, or Des, sorry, I keep wanting to say Desi, worked on Des ahead of time and was telling her, you know, they're throwing your name out. They're saying you're the weakest link. And she would not budge. And she was wow. right. She goes, you know, he's wow. totally dying. So.
Wow. I didn't see that. I guess it was a secret scene. I didn't see it.
Yeah. It is funny because, like you just said, Phil, I don't think they're that tight. I think they needed to be tight for that first vote because they saw that they lost one of their own on the other tribal council. But the more that we're talking about this, they're clearly very splintered. We're talking about how Bradley is going to be seen as this ringleader who's rubbing people the wrong way, how Chelsea and Des are tight with each other, but they're not talking to anybody else. Sebastian's hanging out with the other tribe, and Kellen was hanging out on Ghost Island for a night. So they're kind of all over the place. And I think, I mean, Chelsea, like you just said, I feel like there isn't a reason for her to go home because she's not bothering anybody. She's not doing poorly in challenges. She's just kind of there. But if that Malolo group, they need to find an in. And so it could be like what I just said about Sebastian. They could reach out to Chelsea, and then the whole other original Navides could be like, wait a second, we're just going to dump Chelsea. Or Chelsea will try to make a move there. But I think she's at the bottom of that group, and so that's why I have her kind of low, but also maybe high, considering that she may be pretty low on Sunday's list.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was going to put her at 15 or 16, and then I was looking at some of these other people, the people who I have below. I just see more of a reason for any of these people to go home than I see for Chelsea to go home. Mm-hmm. It just, to me, it just doesn't feel like Chelsea's time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, so we're up to 12. Sunday, do you want to go to 12?
12. I have Stephanie at 12.
Okay.
I mean, I like her a lot. I just feel like, I don't know. I really like her. And I think if Jenna and Sebastian are connecting, then that's going to leave Stephanie out in the cold. She's got Michael, but I mean, their numbers are low. So she's got to figure out a way to connect somewhere, or there's got to be a swap or something. Yeah. I don't know.
It's tough with Stephanie because I feel like we've seen so much positive of her that I don't feel like she should go. But I thought the exact same thing about Brandon, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, I really felt like Stephanie and Brandon and Michael, they're going to overcome it, and Jenna would have been the one who went home. It seemed like this was going to be a bond for this group to like overcome the evil Bradley and like make their way to the end. Like, really, as like they could have went all the way to like final five or six from what I was watching. And now all of a sudden Brandon's gone. And I'm like, well, does that mean Stephanie's gone too? Like, is she doomed on this tribe where it seems like Jenna's going to have the best relationship with the other side, and Stephanie and Michael are going to kind of be like, well, how do we get in? And we've seen it before where good players still can't find a way to get in.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bradley's already, you know, cut her off, which, you know, if there is something later, she's going to remember that, you know, and that's not, doesn't bode well for him. But yeah, I don't know where she goes from here, I guess.
Yeah, she is in a very tough position. I have her a little bit lower. For my number 12, I have Angela, which is pretty high for where I've been putting her earlier. And I think this is because I think that Navidi, they have a chemistry now. I don't know how it happened, because you would have thought that Morgan would be the glue that would have kept them together. But for whatever reason, they've been winning challenges. They have a bit of chemistry. There's still this infighting, but it's fairly harmless, I'd say. And when it comes to this Dom versus Chris battle, they're not going to vote out Angela. I think because they don't think that Chris will have an idol. And the thing with Angela is those Malolos can pull her in because she's pretty pissed off at her original tribe mates because they tried to get rid of her too. So I actually think Angela's in an okay position, but still pretty low because she is aligned with someone who everyone hates.
Yeah.
Yep. What, here's my question now with Angela and Chris, and what if Chris goes to Ghost Island again though? Do you think it's Angela who goes? Like, I know last week Kellen went and then was back for the actual challenge and actually went to tribal. Yeah. But do you think that if Chris were to go to Ghost Island again somehow, Does Angela go? Because that's what I kind of think would happen.
Yeah, I think Angela actually would go. Because she'd be like kind of easy. I think they would all agree on that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too.
Yeah.
But at my 12, I have Desiree. So finally got Desiree on there. We've talked a lot about her, like probably more than the show's actually shown of her. So we've got like a good, like, I don't know, like Desiree, I think I've given my reasoning on her. She just seems like the person, at least from what we've seen on the show, and maybe not in Sunday, in the deleted scene that Sunday was talking about, but like from what we've seen on the show, it just seems like she'd be somebody who's like, all right, she's with Bradley, she's with Kellen, she'd never been to Ghost Island, she couldn't possibly found an idol, let's get rid of her now. So that's why I still think Desiree has a little bit of a shot to go home. And then yeah. I'll do 13 since Sunday put her at 12. I'll do 13. I have Stephanie Johnson. Kind of talked about Stephanie Johnson. I hope Stephanie pulls it out. Like, I hope she's able to continue to find a way. Me too. Right now it's looking really bad.
Yeah, me too. I have Jenna at 13.
Okay, so what's your thinking on Jenna then?
I just don't know. You know, she could stick with Stephanie. I don't know if she gets involved with Sebastian and lets that cloud her thinking, which it looks like could happen, then I just, one of them is going to end up on the chopping block because of it. And I feel like if it's going to be one of them, it's going to be her, only because obviously if you already got rid of Brendan, and if they stay together, they need Sebastian's strength. So, and he seems to have more of an outgoing personality, at least from what just they've shown. So I think if they do go this route and one goes home, it's going to be Jenna. And I think she goes before Stephanie, if, you know, so that's why I'm at 13. You just haven't seen a ton yet, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I thought she would have been the boot last week. We haven't seen that much. She seems like somebody who really wasn't getting along. She didn't seem like she was tight with anybody in Malolo, which might've actually saved her. Is that, yeah, we've heard she's tight with Stephanie, but how much are we actually seeing her for being tight with Stephanie? Seemed like Brendan was just a more obvious target than Jenna, and that might be why Brendan's gone and Jenna's still there. But I see what you're saying with the Sebastian thing. I just like to think that if it goes this route, they would probably be like, oh, exciting. We have Jenna on our side, and we're going to Cochran her at some point and just vote her out. Like, we're just going to get rid of her when it's convenient for us. We're going to use her until we don't need her anymore.
Right. So
that's why I think that Jenna actually has a shot to stay a little bit more than Stephanie Johnson or Michael on that tribe.
Wow. Okay.
Alexa, who you got at 13?
So for 13, I have Chris. And I am putting all of my eggs in the Navidi doesn't lose immunity basket.
Wow.
And yeah, so I could be really, really off on that. Again, this is really just kind of based off that. I still have him at the lowest of that group of Navidis, but I don't know. I think they have a chemistry, even though they're not personally bonding with him. They were kind of working with him in the challenge. Like when they won that ridiculous comeback that we already knew was going to happen at the last immunity challenge, they were all like diving in on them. And like Chris was a part of that. So I think even though he rubs them the wrong way, he's still, I don't know. I think that there's more chemistry than we're seeing with that. And my bottom three, it's the three remaining original Malolos who are on Malolo. So that's my kind of spoiler there.
Okay. See, I think with Chris, I think what Chris actually had happen to him is we were kind of talking about some people just need 3 days to overcome. Mm-hmm. Chris hasn't been able to overcome his initial impression. And I just think it's how he is. I don't think he's been able to really do anything to convince them that he's not who he is. And I don't think he's a bad guy. We were almost saying like last week, like, you know, he was rooting everybody on in that challenge. He was really excited in that challenge. Seems like he really wants to fit in. Like, this is my tribe. I want to be a part of it. I want you guys to believe me. But I almost think it's coming across as insincere. And so like, it's just so we can get rid of Dom. Whereas Dom seems like he's coming across a little more sincere. Like, I'd work with you to the end. I don't care. Like, that's good for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Chris is in more trouble. And I don't have him at 13.
Oh, I certainly think he's in trouble. He's at the bottom of the Navidis for me. But I don't know.
I have him at 14.
Okay. What's your take on Chris so far?
Well, I saw a little bit of hope in the preview. interview with Donathan talking to him, which just the fact that Donathan would sit down and say, you know, I would maybe work with you shows that Chris is working on showing a different side of himself than he has. Because I don't see Donathan approaching him if he continues with the condescending, you know, tone that he had. Mm-hmm. So I do think, you know, getting to Ghost Island did clear his mind a little bit. And I think it will be hard for him to overcome, you know, his first impression. So I still have him, you know, at 14. But I think if Naviti, they like this feeling of winning. And if Dom could just keep his emotions in check and keep him around kind of more of as a shield, he may stick there just a little bit longer. But I don't know. I mean, I'm at 14, so that doesn't bode well for my tennis. How long?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't think that they can put it aside. I just don't think they can. And like I keep saying with Micronesia, we saw how bad the fans then did after that. I mean, it was only what? There was only four fans, I think, on that jury because the fans imploded so early. And Tracy, who was the reason Joel went home, it was a good move at the time, but it's also the reason why she went home before the merge hit, you know, because they just weaken themselves so much that you start to run out of people.
Yeah.
And do you really want to get rid of Chris now? You are always going to be able to get rid of Chris. He is going to be somebody who seems like he's going to rub people wrong the entire game. You're going to always be able to get rid of him. Why not let him stay around till seventh place, eighth place? What's he going to do? Go on an immunity run and take up somebody else's seat at the final tribal? That's how you have to be looking at it because he doesn't seem like he might be strong, but these challenges aren't built for big, strong men anymore. So if he gets to the final tribal and you're sitting next to him, you're going to win, or at least you would think you would. So why get rid of him right now?
Yeah, definitely not an immunity run threat. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you actually did the challenges. Yeah, you actually did the challenges. You've seen it. What is built for him?
Yeah, they aren't. Chris and Brett had a terrible time because anything with that involved balance beams, their feet are ginormous. They're really hard to balance. And just, a lot of them, they're perfect for like Jay.
Yeah.
Strong, athletic, but not, you know, like a giant person. So, I don't see him being someone that people are like, oh, he's going to go on an immunity run. You have to get rid of him. I just think, like you said, he's easy number to get rid of. But I think people have short memories in the game. And if you've rubbed them the wrong way, it's all it takes, you know, when you're picking a person. Okay, well, let's just pick one of the four of them. You know, could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
I have Angela at 14. So I still have her really low, but I do think that if Chris doesn't go to Ghost Island and that tribe loses, or if Chris does go to Ghost Island and that tribe loses, or if they want to keep strength, then Angela is the girl to go for. I feel like that's who they would go for. It's like, let's keep our strength, but let's weaken him now. This is finally our chance to weaken him. And I think now Malolo would be on board because it's like, all right, we already have proven that, you know, Dom and Wendell, they're never getting their strength back because we got rid of Morgan. That was their girl. Now let's get rid of Chris's girl, and we still are going to have the 4-3 advantage every boot. And as we get closer to a merge, if we lose one near the end, then let's get rid of Chris because we don't need his strength anymore. Let's get rid of him right before the merge. So I think Angela might actually be the right move here, but I'm going to still put her at 14 instead of 15 or 16 just because I still think that it's so personal that Chris would go before Angela.
For sure.
Could be.
I think I know who Sunday has as 16.
Can I
have a 1-2 shot, but I think I know.
I'll catch up to you guys. I'm gonna do my 14. I have Jenna at number 14. I think out of the three original Malolos, I think she's in the best position, and that's really mostly because of the Sebastian thing, but also because she's the lowest threat level. We saw what Michael can do. We saw that Michael's going to swing for the fences. And in one of Brandon's exit interviews, he said that they were considering blindsiding Stephanie because they knew that she was a threat. So her own tribe mates knew that she was a threat. I'm sure the Naviti majority knows that she's a huge threat. So if they're afraid of gunning for Michael a second time, I think Stephanie's the person that they go to before Jenna. So actually I go Jenna 14, Stephanie 15, Michael 16, just to round mine off.
Wow.
You put Michael all the way down. And remember, Sunday had Michael all the way up at 2.
Yeah, I do remember that.
So I'll knock mine out, and then Sunday you can knock yours out. Okay. We'll save the best for last. I have Michael at 15. I really think Michael's in so much trouble here, and the reason being, if Jenna does side with Navidi, she's going to say, Stephanie Johnson's my girl, let's get rid of Michael. And that actually fits with Bradley's plan. Bradley's saying, okay, like, let's do it. Let's get rid of the strong guys. That's fine. I think it's dumb because I also – it's just how Dom is thinking. It's like, why are you getting rid of all of your strength now?
Yeah.
But I think that the game that Bradley wants to play, he'd rather do the Russell thing where Russell goes, Russell gets down to four people on his tribe and takes all four of them to the final five. I think that's what Bradley wants to do. So if he's got to lose the people early, whatever. They're not in his alliance anyway. I don't think it bothers him. So yeah. I think that he would get rid of Michael, and that's why I put Michael here, because if they do pull over Jenna, we've seen her say, I will follow Stephanie Johnson. I will follow Stephanie Johnson. And then I put Chris at 16 because we talked so much about Chris. I just feel like if they lose – can Dom put it aside? And I just don't think so. It seems like everybody's been saying, that was his time, that was his time, that was his time. Let's get him out of here. Let's get him out of here. Well, now you finally have your chance. Then let's get him out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where I stand on that.
Well, I have Chelsea at 15 and Angela at 16.
Knew it.
And
all right.
Because Angela, you know, she's the older gal like myself, and I don't think she's horrible in the challenges. I just think that she seems a little, I don't know if rigid is the right word, or just a little, she was even though she didn't like how Chris was talking to her, she was willing to, you know, stick with his plan. And I think that loyalty could hurt her. And Chelsea I have at 15 only because I just haven't seen enough to know where she's at with anything. And they didn't show us any strong alliances that she had. So you could interchange those, but I do have Chelsea 15 and Angela 16.
Yeah. It really depends on, whichever tribe were to go, you're saying that if the one tribe goes, it's Chelsea. And if the other tribe goes, it's Angela.
It could be. I mean, or you could be totally right. And I could be wrong about Michael. I just feel like Michael's one of those people that are going to surprise us and have, when you think he's out of there, he's going to find something, or they're going to send him to Ghost Island, or I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really interesting. Like with a situation like Michael's, we've seen a good amount of him. We've seen him be loyal to Brendan and play that idol and everything and try to do the right thing for that alliance. But is that just putting too much on him so early? He is probably, if you look at down the line, him and Chris are the two strongest guys out there. I'd probably give a little bit of an edge to Chris just because a little bit older. I mean, that's really the only reason I'd give him a little bit of an edge. But but Michael being like an 18-year-old kid, he's huge. And everybody, you know, I don't think that – how can you get rid of him right now? And I think somebody like Sebastian might really push to not get rid of him right now. Because he's like, well, now we're getting rid of all the strong guys and I have no shield. It's like Sebastian is thinking in terms of I have a shield, even though he's not saying he has a shield. Yeah. You know, you can see that it's the gears are turning in his head. Yeah. He just isn't saying it outright.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I agree more. I agree with Angela. I'd probably put Chelsea too high. I just think that if Chelsea was – oh, man, we've seen nothing of Chelsea. But then again, you had Lucy on your season. So we really have no idea. they can pull on us here.
Yeah, that's a good point. What I'm liking about, we've kept referencing like, oh, this person might go to Ghost Island. What I'm loving Ghost Island more and more, but what I like is that they keep going to rocks on who goes to Ghost Island. So yeah. That person, you just can never tell who it's going to be because it actually is that random. Except for when Kellen says, oh no, don't send me there. And then she goes there.
Yeah, exactly. Somehow she pulled that one off. We still have no idea.
That was crazy.
That was ridiculous. That was like Jeff, you could see the look on Jeff's face. He was like, this is everything that I want.
Yeah. Do you think they'll get another swap before the merge?
Ooh, I don't think so, but a lot of people are thinking that there might be.
It seems like we've always been seeing two swaps now before the merge because they want like as many people to interact and everything now. But it's so even with this 8-8. So
early. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still at 16. Like,
I know. So, like, on my notes, I had to write down everybody and then, like, the new Naviti, the new Malolo, or however you say it. And then I wrote who's from what tribe and tried to put them in the
lines. Oh, wow.
Because that was just such a quick move. And now you gotta, it's like chess.
Yeah. And it's like, who actually built relationships with their tribe in those first six days? We saw nothing of Naviti except for Sebastian and Chris are friends and Dom is not. Like, that's all we saw, like, from them. We saw nothing of how Bradley feels about everybody until last week. And now we're sitting here supposed to thinking he's the kingpin. Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting. What's up?
Which doesn't bode well for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He called himself out. So I guess, Sunday we were doing this and we do this eliminator game. I don't know how familiar you are with it. So Adam wanted to do it when he came on. So we said, okay. And then Julia picked somebody last week. So then you'd pick somebody this week. So pretty much what it is, it's like a NFL eliminator game where you're just picking one person left in the game. You can't pick who was picked previously. So actually,
I have the list right here if you need it.
It's a big disadvantage for you, Sunday, because you didn't get to strategize in this. You're just kind of picking someone here and hoping they don't go home.
There's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah. So Adam picked Sebastian and James for those first two episodes, and then Julia picked Libby. So this week, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Stephanie Johnson, which might be dumb, but I just don't think she's going to go this week. I think that there's enough in her favor that it won't be her.
Okay. What is the eliminate? What does that mean? Like, you think they're going to be voted out next week or what?
They survive.
No, you want to pick somebody who won't go home this week, but you're also, what's happening is as you're picking these people, they're also getting voted out. So you have to like have somebody left at the end. Cause if you run out of people, then the other person would beat you because you have nobody left to pick. You only pick everybody once.
This sounds really confusing, but okay.
It's way easier once you do it, but pretty much, you're coming in the middle, which is very confusing.
The extremely extremely short version. Phil and I, each week we pick one person who's going to survive the vote and we can't repeat people. And so we're tossing you into it because Adam did it and Julia did it. Okay. And they picked those three, Sebastian, James, and Libby. So who do you think will survive this week who isn't those three?
Laurel.
There you go. All right. So
good pick.
Laurel picked by Sunday. And Alexa, who do you have?
I don't know. I was hoping you wouldn't ask me.
We got to put somebody down.
So Vaughn is doing Angela. I don't know. At first I was like, I'm going to do Chris. Like, I'm going to do something really wild and crazy because I'm really bad at this game and maybe they won't lose. But I already picked Jenna. I can't do Stephanie because you did her. I'm going to stick with Chris. I'm doing it.
Wow.
Michael's going home this week.
Another thing to know about this game, Sunday, is that Alexa notoriously loses first.
I'm so bad at it. I'm awful.
This might be the furthest you've ever made it.
I think this is because the furthest I made it last time was when Malcolm went home in Game Changers and he was the fourth person out. And I survived the fourth person. So I am cruising.
Alexa's made it. She's getting better every year.
Getting better.
All right. So Alexa, also for our fantasy games, MVP was Kellen and LVP was Michael. So I got the 3 points for that. Vaughn lost 2, which is nice. Let's even that up. But anything else? Do we have anything else that we have to talk about? We killed our power rankings. We did the eliminator game. What else we got, Alex?
I don't know. I think that's all we got. Sunday, is there anything else? Like, anything else you want to bring up? We got a forum here. If you have like anything on the season that you've been wanting to talk about, like we're really happy that you came on and joined us.
Well, thank you. This is super fun. I just wish that every single time they went to Ghost Island, they had an option to play. I don't like the time. It's so disappointing to me when they open the thing and it says you can't play the game. Mm-hmm. that's like such a big lead up to like nothing then. So, but I mean, I'm really liking it, you know. But yeah, I wish they did something every time they went to Ghost Island. It probably made too many advantages and all that stuff. But half the stuff they call advantages are not advantages anyways.
Yeah.
You're kind of
column there. Good. You've been been given a disadvantage. Yeah. You can steal that. You can steal a reward or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steal it's crazy. A reward. It's crazy. Yeah. What was I going to say? I've actually been really liking that not everyone gets an advantage, but I get what you mean. Cause if I was out there and I'm on the bottom and I go out there and they're like, nope, none for you. I would be like, you've got to be kidding me. Like you sent me here and I get nothing. So maybe even if they don't get an advantage, what if they could get like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or like some rice to either keep to themselves or bring to the, like something more physical rather than an advantage. Oh, I like that. Yeah. We should talk to someone
something
about that.
Something that they still have to make a good or a bad decision, but maybe it isn't like you said, advantaged. Or I don't know, for the viewer, for me, I want to see something happen when they get there. So when it says they don't get to play, I'm like bummed out.
Yeah.
I'm liking it for sure.
I think that's a really good idea. I didn't even think about that. That's such a good idea to just be like, oh, you don't get to play. You don't get an advantage, but here's food or here's, you know, a letter from home or something where like your on goes down and you have a chance to win something. I think that if Jacob would have not gotten it the first time, then it probably would have went to Chris, I guess. Chris went next, I think. But if Jacob hadn't gotten, like, actually won the game, I think that Chris would have probably played the game after that. At least that's what I would assume because they want to get the legacy advantage in the game as fast as possible. So actually Jacob getting it right, I mean, it's that they had, like, two or three episodes where it was like, oh, we don't actually have anything to do. They probably gave themselves a buffer in order to assume that Jacob might not get it or whoever went might not get it.
Yeah, I'm into this. I'm going to tweet it, Jeff.
I also think it would be cool if, okay, so say they don't get to play for an advantage, but I think it would be cool if they did something where they could, they got some kind of object where they could practice what the next immunity challenge is. So it's kind of like, hey, you're stuck out here by yourself, but at least you can practice X, Y, or Z because you might be able to help your tribe, you know, on the next challenge or something.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Well, Jeff Probst is the biggest fan of our podcast, so he's probably listening and he's probably putting all of this into writing.
Fan.
Yeah, the biggest fan. Yeah. But no, that's really good ideas because I have a friend who's a huge fan of the show, but he's not really loving the whole Ghost Island thing because he's like, why am I going to sit here while they have a piece of paper that says, oh, you don't get anything? Kind of what you just said, Sunday. And he's not liking it really at all because of that. He's like annoyed by it because it's like you're just sending that person there. And now Kellen, I guess the advantage for those people was that they didn't have to go to tribal. I guess that's like the one thing you could say was the advantage because then Kellen got a game and she also wasn't safe from tribal. So maybe that's a little bit of what it was.
But now if they add in the rewards, will they still – like last time, didn't they come back before the vote anyways? Before tribal? So that's not even a thing. So it's like if the other tribe wants to punish you, you know, by you being sent to Ghost Island, then your reward is you get to practice. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're risking something by sending you. Well, if I send them, they could come back and do better in the challenge and help their side win. I don't know.
Yeah. No, those are things we never really even brought up. So I like that.
I know. I'm on to these. I like these. Well, there you go. There's a brainstorming session.
Okay. Listen, this is crazy to me. Okay. So, you know, the water slatter challenge. Well, ours was called water slatter. I don't know what they called this one. But first, let me say, my arms underneath were black and blue from Michaela kicking me. Like literally kick marks under both of my arms. But that was a horrible challenge. But did anyone notice that their reward was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for that challenge?
Yeah.
Do you want to know what our reward was for that challenge? Steak, sausages, vegetables, spices, a grill, a cutting board, and a knife.
Wow, they got screwed.
We had sausages for 3 days.
Oh my God.
Each person got 2.5 sausages. We each got a steak. We had the veggies and spices that we had the entire game. We had like coconut oil and sea salt and
oh my God,
cutting board, a knife and a grill, and they got peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, oh my God, and they were excited. Wow, budget cuts, right?
Yeah,
for thing. But when I saw that, I was like, wow, we really got the good end of the stick on that one.
Oh my gosh, that is, you know, I can't believe you got a grill.
Well, that's the beauty of these types of things. Yeah, you get a knife. This is the beauty of these types of things, though. Like, most Survivor fans forget that. I forgot what you guys win for rewards. Yeah. Like, nobody's remembering. But you get to bring that up now, and it's like, wow, that puts into perspective. I mean, at the time, you're like, yeah, sure, they got peanut butter and jelly. They're probably happy. Then you realize, like, you guys were eating, like, every protein and every vegetable, and you guys were great.
Wow. So crazy. For this steak, like, this is, like, okay.
Barbecue utensils, too. I think we got, like, a spatula maybe and something else.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. They really treated you there. For that, so if they give you steaks, I can't believe this is the first question I have. So they give you, like, steaks and sausages. You said you had those for 3 days. When it came to the steaks, those were probably raw, right?
Yeah, so when we got there, in fact, we stuck our finger right in them, and they were still cold. So we made the steaks right away, and we ate them. And then we made the sausages because they were raw, too. And then we put them in our pot with the lid. And we cut them up in the so bugs couldn't get to them. So we cooked them right away and then just cut them in halves and saved them. Well, not all of us.
Ooh. Some of
us ate
them. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. That's ominous.
But it didn't matter because each person got X amount. So if you want to eat all yours now, fine. But I saved mine for 2 days.
That's smart. I think that was the right move.
It's something.
Wow, that's crazy. That is so crazy.
Yeah.
There you go. Now we know. There you-
And a decent amount of this cast, I think, listens to our podcast. So I hope they're listening and are just like, what the heck? Like, how did we get like 3 PB&J sandwiches to split between like 8 of us?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's better than nothing. But yeah, when I watched it, I was like, oh my gosh, you poor, I feel bad for them.
And they would have been none the wiser until now.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. So funny.
Wow.
All right. Well, maybe close us out or I don't know.
Yeah, I'll close it out. No, I feel like we got some good ideas and a really sad story for everyone on this season. How they're not munching on like steak and veggies right now. So Kellen won the MVP vote. So I'll be writing an MVP spotlight for her. They'll probably come out like tonight or tomorrow morning. We just posted our prop bet and boot list standings on our Facebook page. So for those of you who think we don't post them, I promise we post them. They're just on our Facebook page, which is not nearly as highly trafficked as our Twitter page. But with that, like us on Facebook, Survivor Specialists Phil and Alexa. Tweet at us, follow us on Twitter, Survivor Specialists, and give us a subscribe on YouTube. I think we're at almost 1,400. We're 2 people away from that. So hit that subscribe button, give us 5 stars on iTunes, and we will be back on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern for our episode 5 recap.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on Sunday.
Thank you, Sunday.
It was great.
Fun.